Why are we playing this music?
Look, the Eagles got their rings on Friday. Oh, okay. Like a diamond ring.
Okay, got it.
You got it.
I would have played We Are the Champions myself.
Well, but, that works too.
You know, but this is Coco. Well,
I was trying to go very on the nose.
I mean, there's diamonds in the ring. I mean, that's part of it. All right, let's talk about it. 215-592-9494. Back to your calls in the Phils in just a minute and your reaction to how the top five played out last week. But, Hugh, it's odd it took this long. I know there was an issue with the putting together of the rings. They had to push back the ceremony. Usually they do this in, like, June, the teams that win, because then...
Yeah, it's kind of crazy getting your ring on a Friday.
And then
going to camp on a Wednesday.
You got to get to work.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah, because usually you want to kind of put last year in the rearview mirror. But they had one last celebration. So the ring ceremony was Friday night. Hugh, before we get into some of the particulars about the rings and how they were designed, what was your first thought? You saw them. A lot of the players were like live streaming on their phones and showing it off. What did you think of the 2024 Eagles Super Bowl ring?
My first thought, I was like, damn, that's gaudy. Beautiful. Gaudy. I mean, like, that's the type of ring that you don't wear anywhere. That's the type of ring that is a centerpiece in your home. You know, a beautiful ring, man. And they're supposed to be. Gotta say all that, not saying in a negative way. They're supposed to be gaudy. And you know what? To be honest, I got to thinking, I was like, damn, if we'd have won ours, how much bigger would it have been? Because that would have been the third win. If we'd have won the first one.
This would be three.
This would be the three.
Yeah.
And how much bigger would it be? Because that ring is huge.
So we discussed it. You just mentioned, you know, the Lombardi's on there. I discussed this Friday with Elliot before the ceremony, right? We didn't know what it was going to look like. Hugh, what do you think of them putting two Lombardi's on there, right? This is the franchise's second championship. But, I mean, what, 90% of the roster was not on the team when they won a few years ago. Like, if you were on the 2024 Eagles, but not 2017, like most of these guys, what would you think of the two Lombardis?
Wouldn't bother me, because that means that just shows the legacy that you have. You got two wins. I'm pretty sure that there were some guys on the Patriots that didn't win all three when they went back to back. So I'm pretty sure there were guys on that team.
Sure, yeah.
So I don't have a problem with that. That ring is going to be the centerpiece of whatever, you know, you have. And unfortunately, like, I was thinking about a guy like BG. BG got one he can wear, the first one he got. That second one, that only people get to see that is the folks that are invited to your home.
What do we think about the wings? I thought it was really cool.
I thought it was bananas. That's probably why it took so long, man, to get all those mechanics working at the right time. And whoever designed that ring, hat off to you. That ring alone, like the player's ring, that got to be at least 10 yams.
I believe
easy.
Jason of Beverly Hills, that's it, what he goes by. He's a jeweler. He also designed the Phillies 2022 NL Championship ring. So, man, he has some ties to this.
Yeah, and not only that, think about, like, when I see stuff like that, I think about how many diamonds, like, you have to hand pick those diamonds. If anybody's ever had any jewelry made or had a piece made, because that used to be a big deal back in the day, they handpicked those small diamonds. And even though they're smaller, I'm pretty sure that there were some requirements that the Eagles had, like the clarity had to be a certain VVS or whatever. Like, somebody had to pick all those diamonds. That's probably why it took so long, Joe. And then the mechanics of how to work that thing, that was bananas.
I really thought it was cool how they paid homage to the actual team while designing, like, a gaudy, cool, different kind of ring. So there's 145 diamonds on the ring. Do you know what the 145 is for?
What, the points that was scored for the what?
Points in the playoffs. They scored 145 points. It's the most in NFL history. Now, they had four games, right? There's an extra round now. Maybe that not every team's had that. But 145 points in the playoffs, regardless of three or four games.
It's pretty impressive.
It's an enormous amount of points.
Did these rings come with some sort of pamphlet that says, because there's a lot of stuff built in. Like, there was, like, secret words, I think, somewhere. There was, you know, inside of the actual ring, there was inscriptions. The 145 diamonds.
Yep.
Hey, when you have, like Q said, you have sitting out in your house, you have a plaque that lists off all these different things, because there's so much on the ring with the wings and
it's
everything. Yeah, how are you going to remember, oh, yeah, there's specifically 145 diamonds on this ring, this and this? That is attention to detail.
That's a centerpiece. That's the centerpiece for your home, man. Like, you know, it's funny, because when I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were talking about the rings and whatever. And they asked me to say, hey, did you get one? I said, well, it's an NFC Championship ring. It's not a Super Bowl.
Is it more simplistic?
It looks like, say, a Johnston's class ring
compared
to to what they got. And it's supposed to be. That's the thing that jumped out to me. That is, I would probably say that just off thinking about the rings that I've seen in the past, because I've seen the Patriots ring, that is the biggest Super Bowl ring that I've ever seen.
It's enormous. So there's also 18 green stones, and that stands for the 18 games they won.
Yes.
It tied the 85 Bears, 84 Niners, and the 07 Patriots, the most wins in a single season with 18. So I like that all the different, like, because look, diamonds and stones, but they made it work to like the team. The other thing that was cool is inside they have Tough detail together, which obviously pays homage to Sirianni and all that kind of stuff. There's also, I think there's the Brazil flag on there, right? Because the season started in Brazil, so they even went to that. They have there's a stamp of the Brazilian flag on the inside of the ring. It really incorporated the beginning of the season all the way to the end. I thought it was cool, and I just, the wings are the most interesting. I've never seen that with any kind of ring, like to have like the team logo in a sense, or like the mascot or whatever, mm-hmm. as part of the ring. And you press the, I kept seeing, I think it was Keely Ringo first put it
kept
up.
Pushing the button.
You push the button and then the rings come out.
Yeah, that's one you wear. That's a ring that you wear when you want to take all the air out the room. you know what I mean? You'd be like, ooh, I'm about to kill him with this one. You could go in there with a pair of drawers on and some fuzzy flip-flops, some bunny ear flip-flops, and a house coat. And nobody would trip as long as you had that ring on your finger. Hey, that's so-and-so. Hey, look, he won the Super Bowl. You go anywhere looking just like that, looking like you ain't brushed your teeth, coal all in your eye. Ain't nobody going to trip. All they're going to know is that you were on the Super Bowl team that got those dope-ass rings. That's all they're going to see.
Yeah, they did. All right, so the Eagles got their rings on Friday. They're really cool. Jay in Philly is up on WIP. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, Joe? How you feeling?
Oh, I'm doing good, Jay. What's up, buddy? What are you thinking?
Hey, man. Happy to have you back, Hugh.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. So, man, I was thinking about that top five list, man, and thinking about Lane and Jason Kelce, man. And I just feel like Kelce sort of like how we look at Brandon Graham. Like, you know, although Kelce was a top center in the whole league, when it comes to him versus Lane, it's like Brandon Graham, man. Like, what he did for the city and the moments that he had, you know, are going to supersede certain things. Like, Lane could win two more Super Bowls and maybe take over. But other than that, man, Jason Kelce is just in our hearts. And he also was great. It's not like he's a marginal player who we put over, you know, just because of the moment. He also was great.
Wait a minute. What did he do that he's endeared himself to the city like Brandon? Like the moment off the field?
Off the field, you just parade. The way he
you mean the way the mummers out? The mummers out.
Well, he gave a speech. Yeah.
No,
okay.
No. So all right. So I'll give you this. Right. Name off the top of your head another Philadelphia athlete that did something to represent the city the way that Jason Kelce did.
So wait a minute. So the mummers represent Philadelphia to you.
No. Not only that though, but he has continued though. Like no. He's still talking. Whenever you could tell. The Eagles are in his heart, in the city. Like,
I mean, but I can say that about anybody that played for the team. I can say that about Ike. I can say that about John Ritchie. He's here. I mean, but like, I'm not trying to pick apart what you're saying, but what I'm trying to understand is what part of it that is it has to be the mummer's outfit. It has to be. It has to be the speech in the mummer's outfit.
So,
that's what you're talking
let
about.
Let me throw this in, Jay. I just think certain for what and there's I don't know like why, but certain athletes connect with people.
No, he's connect. No question about that.
Let me throw this in, and this is where I see the similarity between Jason and Brandon. I think Lane, although I think the best player of all of them is Lane, right?
All day.
So, but Lane, and Lane's still playing, so maybe it'll be different. Lane kind of is his unique own personality, and he keeps it at arm's length. Like he's good to the fans, but Jason last year. Jason and Brandon were part of the morning show, right, on WIP. Like, yeah. Jason was retired and still kept coming in here. Like, there's a connection those two have that, although Lane's better, like, Fletcher didn't have this connection either. Mm-hmm. Fletcher and Lane didn't quite connect, Jay, to me, with the fans the way Brandon and Jason does. And not that anyone disliked Lane and Fletcher. They're awesome. But, like, it's just a different kind of connection.
And let's be honest. Guys will talk about the city, and they don't always talk good about the fans of Philadelphia. Even guys who had success, they sometimes, man, they talk about, hey, man, they don't talk about the fans in a good way. And I'm not saying it's not warranted all the time, but when I hear Jason talk, man, he always shows love to the fans. And every player doesn't. Not that you can't pick a couple. You know, you a couple, of course, you know. But overall, man, a lot of guys leave here, man, and they talk really bad about the fans, man, for whatever the reason, you know. But Jason, one of those dudes, man, that you know his affiliation is with the Eagles, man. And that makes us love him because we don't get a lot of love, you know.
So he makes you feel good. He makes you feel wanted. I get you.
Yeah, not only that, he's an ambassador for us when he goes places. When people see him, they know that's an Eagle right there. They know he's going to represent Philadelphia. And you're not just going to talk about Philadelphia and the fans probably in front of him. Not as much love as he got. So that's what it is with him. And Lane's a quiet dude who's not out there in the public, you know. But I think Lane's a better player.
I agree with that. And Jay, good phone call, man. We appreciate it. You know, Hugh, you said something last year, or you kind of alluded to something last year. And it really, when I did my list, right? Like, I had Lane above Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had them both as a top five Eagle the last 25 years, and I put them both on the overall top five. So, like, it wasn't that big of a difference, right? They're both great players.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
But I had Lane above. You know why? You know who's the tiebreaker?
Who?
Well, the tiebreaker
was... what was the tiebreaker?
The tiebreaker was, whenever Lane is out the last 12 years, whenever he gets hurt, the Eagles really struggle, including mm-hmm. last year. I couldn't ignore that Jason Kelsey retired and the Eagles still won the Super Bowl. And their offensive line was still great. It doesn't mean he's not great, right? But
he's not.
When Lane came out of games.
He's not as important at his position as Lane is. Kelsey's not as important to his position. Hear what I'm saying now before y'all start calling in your feelings. To have a tackle that you can leave on an island that plays against the best pass rusher is not a luxury that all teams have. And we've been fortunate enough to have two, three, four, like John Runyon, Trey Thomas, Jordan Mailata.
Lane
Johnson.
Well, even Jason Peters.
Yeah. Like, you go, like, dog, in a time where, who was it, Richard Cooper. I got here when they had, Richard Cooper came from Tennessee. He was different.
you added that one down.
But no, you're talking about a team that I remember. What was it? Jerry Sizemore was kind of one of the last good linemen that you had in a while. But to go from a series where you didn't have a bunch of good linemen to all of a sudden go back to back cornerstone tackles.
Well, I mean, there are younger listeners that can't remember a time where the Eagles didn't have a great offensive line. That's like a given now. But it did stick out to me. Like, I was trying to figure out, like, do I want Jason above Lane above Jason? It was my tiebreaker. Like, Jason was obviously great. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. But he left, and they still won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and here's the thing with Jason. And I'm not, and trust me, I'm not trying to take anything away from him as far as what he's accomplished on the field. But that was his defining moment, was the Mummers Parade outfit and him endearing himself to the city. Nothing's wrong with that. But when I'm talking about players, to me, to put him above a tackle that you could leave up there by him damn self just because he made you feel good about an outfit that he put on, I mean, that's not fair to Lane in my mind, because Lane's in the trenches every day, and Lane – the best thing you can have about an offensive lineman, you can say about an offensive lineman, is nothing. And for 2 years, couldn't nobody say nothing about his job and what he was doing. Now, on the flip side, it all depends on, like, some of the linemen that I talked to that have played the game. All depends on where you fall at when it comes to Jason. But when you talk about Lane, there's no doubt. Horse.
You know what the other crazy part about Lane is? Like, towards the end of Kelsey's career, he either kept hinting at retirement or they were thinking he was going to, so they drafted Juergens to get ready.
Yeah.
You notice, like, they haven't taken a tackle to be the heir apparent. I get the sense that they think Lane's not close to done. I mean,
Lane, who was the other, I'm thinking Jackie Slater, but no.
What team did he play for?
Played for the Oilers. Played for about 20 years. Matthews.
Bruce.
Man, Bruce, old ass was out there with his receding hairline. I remember playing against him. It was like my second year in the league, and he had already been in the league 20 years, out there doing his thing. And I'm like, damn, old man, you still out here? Like, he was still holding it down. I'm talking about, I'm in my first year in the league. And this man out there just doing his thing, because he's playing in the box. He understood, you know, his spacing and what he could and could not do. at that position. So, yeah, Lane's
you
not
know,
done.
That's a really interesting comp for Lane. So, Bruce Matthews played until he was 40, and he made his final three All-Pro teams at age 37, 38, 39. Lane could do that.
The way Big Red, Andy Reid, used to explain it to me is this. Every tackle is in there. Every lineman is in their box. Protect your box. Move is one. But if you learn the angles of pass rushes and things like that, Lane can play. Lane had 2 years of not giving up a sack, people. Think about that for a minute. I know you like the Mummers outfit and all this other stuff. Buddy went out there for 2 years, and nobody got close to the quarterback. I can tell you, as a guy that used to make a living crushing quarterbacks, to have somebody out there that's a wall that they don't have to worry about, it's a beautiful thing to have. Walter Jones, who was it? Jonathan Ogden
Munoz,
was that guy.
Yeah, Munoz.
Munoz was that guy. Orlando Pace to a certain extent.
Yep.
Y'all don't – like, this is where sometimes when people get to talking about football, I just let you talk because you don't know what you're looking at. You don't. I mean, with all due respect, you don't know what you're looking at.
The other thing that is amazing about Lane is I'd say about 4 or 5 years ago, he was having injury issues. He had the ankle that was really bad.
And he still played.
And then he had the year they got to the Super Bowl and lost to the Chiefs, he was playing with the torn groin, right? But the last 2 years, he's been healthy. Like, you would think you get to your mid-30s, you start breaking down. He's been healthier the last couple of years. If he keeps going like this, he's going to go down as one of the great tackles of all time. I mean, he probably is anyway. But
yes.
But he's – I don't look at him, Hewitt, going into his age 35 season and say we're almost at the end. I mean, he's not. He's got years to go.
Yeah. And that's why not poo-pooing on anybody. It's just the way you see it. Lane Johnson, man, is a beast. Like, flat out.
And he just continues. That's the part. And, again, they lost Kelce and still won. Whenever Lane goes out of a game, or was it week 3, 4 this year in Tampa, whenever it was, week 3 or 4 last year, they didn't have Lane, then they got destroyed. Paul is up on WIP. Hey, Paul.
What's up, Paul?
Paul?
Oh, I'm up. Okay.
Paul, you are up, buddy. What's
up? You're on, Paul.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on. Thanks.
All right, Paul, we're going to put you back on hold.
Yeah, because your phone is garbage.
Paul, you are in a wind tunnel somewhere. Terry is up on WIP talking Phillies. What's up, Terry?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up,
Terry?
Been a minute before I talked to you guys. A couple months since the Super Bowl.
It has been a while. Terry, what are you thinking?
This team needs something. Let me give you an analogy. This team, if you date a girl who is hot and then cold, she likes you, then she don't like you. This team is like that. They're hot
bipolar.
One moment, and they're cold, yeah.
Well, I'm like that with them. I like them, and then I don't like them. I don't like them right now. They have lost 3 straight series and are under .500 at the beginning of June. I don't like them right now.
This team is frustrating. Sometimes the team is going to drive me into smoking or drinking sometimes.
Well, good thing I have the radio to yell about them every day, so I don't have to do those things.
I got to take a couple gummies out there some of these games sometimes.
I don't think you're the only one, Terry. I mean, that's the kind of season they've had. And
but,
really,
you know,
I get down.
Yeah, well, that's how Hugh gets through. So, Terry, what do you think? Are they locked to make the playoffs?
I really like this guy from Boston they keep talking about. There's a possibility they could pull him in as a
– Duran? Jaren Duran?
Yeah, he seems like he's pretty solid. But now, if we can get a package or something out, I'd be happy with that. Or even a guy, Mason Miller, what his name is, from the Athletics.
Yes.
I've been taking that package. So – something that can just really help because they're just 3 players away from really being a great team. But right now they're just sputtering all over the place. You know, you get these little stints of good games and stints of those really bad games.
Well, yeah, and they have enough great players that it kind of carries them through. Like when Wheeler pitches, they usually win because he's great. And, you know, even Saturday they struggled, but Schwarber hits a grand slam, so they win. So they do enough to keep you feeling like it's possible, but then we see their flaws. They have a lot of flaws for a good team.
And they're still a great team. They're still playoff possibilities, but they're a couple players away from really making a push. But they need somebody strong, a couple players strong to really give them a good push in the playoffs. We're not going to get there with these guys who are just sputtering all over the place.
Yeah, well, and I hope – and Terry, good phone call, man. I hope they understand the gravity of it. And that's – look, the Phillies could stay the way they are and still make the playoffs, but they could also miss. And they're not – there are some – like last year's Phillies, even when they started to struggle in June, July, August – I never thought they weren't a lock to be there. They had such a big lead that even if they struggled down the stretch, they were going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They had done so much and were so far ahead of the pack in April and May last year that really it was just about October. This team doesn't have that kind of cushion. I feel like we think they do, But they really don't. I mean, they are half up on the Mets, and they are four up on the Reds for just to be in the playoffs. And I hope when they look at their what they need the next 2 weeks, they have a sense of urgency. Because if they, I mean, Lewis, if they go get an Austin Hayes and say, you know, an Austin Hayes kind of guy and say, yeah, we're good, we'll see you in October, they may have to kind of fight tooth and nail just to get there.
I was going
to
say that, and the fact that maybe they didn't come out as hot at the start of this year than they did last year, that probably plays a little bit of into it too. I know people were kind of calling for that because they didn't want us to sputter out towards the end of the season. So, I mean, we did kind of start to sputter here towards the end of the season. So maybe that really isn't the issue. But I'll be interested to see if they really just pick it all the way back up right here at the end.
Yeah, I didn't start winning series again. I mean, they've lost three straight series. The last series win was what, the Red Series before right around the 4th of July. It feels like a while. And now I know we had an all-star break, so it just feels like longer. But it just feels like weeks since they've won a series. And the next two are going to be challenging. The Red Sox are in tonight, and then they go to New York this weekend to take on the Yankees. So they're not easy teams. And then I think they get a respite next week against the White Sox. That should be a series they clearly win. After that, though, is Detroit, who's been the best team in baseball. So these are tough series against AL teams. 215-592-9494. That's a hopper. We'll get to your phone calls and the Phils on the other side. And we teased it earlier. Let's get to it. We'll let you hear what Cam Newton had to say about Jalen Hurts as it's Jalen Hurts list season. Every single day, there's a new one. We've had a lot, obviously, to react to the last couple weeks. But this one was – I found Cam's take particularly interesting because he's a quarterback, right? And, like – he's not Chris Sims. He wasn't a fringe quarterback. Cam Newton won an MVP.
He was a pretty good quarterback.
He won an MVP in the league and made a Super Bowl. So he understands what it takes in a lot of different ways to play that position. Cam's take on Jalen Hurts. That's next. Your calls as well. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.